The reading for this morning comes to us from Psalm 30. And I will read the whole psalm for you. It is the alternate text for this Sunday in the lectionary series. Beginning with verse 1, and I will read from the New Revised Standard. I will extol you, O Lord, for you have drawn me up and did not let my foes rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried to you for help and you have healed me. O Lord, you brought up my soul from Sheol, restored me to life from among those gone down to the pit. Sing praises to the Lord, O ye his faithful ones, and give thanks to his holy name. For his anger is but for a moment, his favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may linger for the night, but joy comes with the morning. As for me, I said in my prosperity, I shall never be moved. By your favor, O Lord, you have established me as a strong mountain. You hid your face. I was dismayed. To you, O Lord, I cried, and to you, Lord, I made my supplication. What profit is there in my death if I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it tell you of your faithfulness? Hear, O Lord, and be gracious to me. O Lord, be my helper. You have turned my mourning into dancing. You have taken off my sackcloth and clothed me with joy, so that my soul may praise you and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give thanks to you forever. This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? Almighty God, we ask for your presence amongst us as we begin a journey, that you will prepare the way, that you will lead us, you will come alongside us, and you will pick up behind us. Now hide your servant behind the cross of Christ, so that only Jesus is seen, only Jesus is heard, only Jesus is loved. For we pray this in the strong name of Jesus the Christ. Amen. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. Where? I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Where? In my heart to stay. Thank you. Yes, y'all are pretty good at those old songs. Well, for me, Gretchen opened this opportunity 2 Sundays ago, and I'm going to take full advantage of it this morning. So I thank Gretchen for that, for paving the way for this sermon that I was already working on without knowledge that she was going to talk about joy on her Sunday. It's pretty awesome how God is so amazing and how God works in and through all of us if we simply will let him. Amen. Yes, joy. Joy comes right now, beloved. Not in the morning, not when you've got your life all together, not when things are just the way they need to be. Joy comes right now. We don't have to wait any longer, for we have been blessed with Jesus Christ. My first Sunday, and I'm already disagreeing with the psalmist. It doesn't get much bolder than that now, does it? No, it's not because I'm some young whippersnapper, definitely not young, or because I'm wiser than the shepherd boy or smarter than King David. It's because I have lived through many times of darkness and of struggles of the soul. Through those times, I've come to realize that I don't have to wait till the morning, till I get it right, or till my heart is pure and religious again to find joy. For joy comes right now. This realization at an early age that I was an adopted child seemed to mean to my little mind, but my big heart, that apparently I wasn't wanted by people. It's a heavy burden to carry at any age. And believe it or not, I've always been short. I have been the shortest of my age group, the shortest of my gender in every place I've been. So can you say words like picked on and bullied? Another time, I remember being deferred for ordination from the Florida Annual Conference when I applied to my home conference. They gave me a nice long list of 18 concerns that they didn't like. One was I didn't date enough while in seminary and working a full-time church ministry and carrying a full load. There was the time where Sally and I were told our third pregnancy was going to end up in a miscarriage. A weekend of true darkness and worry and fear. Fortunately, our daughter Katie had other things to say about that 7 months later, as she came to our lives totally healthy and totally loud. Recently this season brought about the loss of my home church, the church that nurtured me and encouraged me to answer a call to ministry in Brandon, Florida. The loss of 2 of my appointments out of 8 in the North Georgia Conference. The loss of lifelong friendships. And it filled my heart in their place with uncertainty, with fear, and deep grief. I prayed all the time. I prayed and sought the face of God. But I seemed to only begin to understand what Paul was saying to the church at Corinth when he said, I see through a glass dimly. I could see something, but I couldn't make it out. I could hear some voices, but they were unclear to me, like it was a different language, or perhaps the teacher from Charlie Brown. Wah, 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 wah. My heart was more than heavy and burdened, yet I tried never to give up hope, to continue to do my pastoral job, but it came pretty close. Joy was like a wisp of wind blowing out there, but never right here. The pain of the psalmist in the 30th Psalm is not figurative language. It's not metaphorical language. It's not imagined language. It is real language. It is true because there are times where tears will come into your life and you will not see clearly. There are days that will seem like hell on earth, and it is a real state of our life. David understood that lack of joy. He understood it in his life as he was recovering from a painful sickness and looking to God for help and pleading for him to release him from the pain that was beyond words. And we give thanks to God that he found some words that he penned in this 30th chapter today, because God heard his plea. Again, 2 weeks ago in the sermon, see, I've been watching you online since I ever heard the name Kingswood. I've been spying on you. And I've heard all the sermons, the wonderful sermons that Charles has preached. I've known Charles, by the way, I'm taking an aside here. Charles and I have known each other for many years. I got to help him enter pastoral ministry, and yet I'm younger than him. Let's not forget that. And I got to be a part of your church and excitement of what was going on here through that. And so I've already been here a little bit, but to be in your presence today is pretty cool, let me just tell you. But Gretchen shared 2 weeks ago in her message that there was a difference between happiness and joy. Beloved, she's spot on. I kind of consider maybe God saying something to her about being a preacher, but I'll let y'all help on that one. Amid great pain and suffering, we Christians tend to put on a happy face. We do it better than anybody, actually. When we're asked at the checkout line, "How are you today?" we respond quickly, "I'm fine, thank you." When life's falling apart, we're told the scripture that we are to smile and the whole world will smile with you. Beloved, that it's not scripture, by the way, and it's not true either. We can fake happiness, beloved, but we cannot fake joy. I have put on a happy face in many pulpits and over many churches over the years when my heart was broken or crushed on a Sunday morning. It was so that the world, the pulpit, would show forth to the pew that we're happy, we're glad, we can feel secure in our playing of religion. In reality, it was not being honest about our feelings and needs as an individual in the Christian family. This, beloved, is the one place we can be most honest with our feelings and our emotions. If not, then we have work to do. Today, the psalmist tells us to speak the truth and to open our hearts to the joy of the Almighty God. And because of Jesus Christ and his great gift of life at Calvary and the empty tomb, you and I can experience joy right now. We don't have to wait for the right time or the right place. We don't have to be spiritual enough or astute enough about the apocalyptic literature in the scriptures. Joy is always deep, deep within our hearts, and it wells up in us even through good days and bad days. And sometimes it is in those bad days it comes because it's needed the most. I understand it to work this way. When we lean into the arms of our Creator God and trust for our very life, joyful things begin to lay a foundation that cannot be shaken. In the overflowing blessings of life, we are reminded that joy swells up from the bottom. And in the toughness of life, when we remain steadfast and humble, not to be moved and not to think it's about us, but to understand it and acknowledge that our joy comes from God, from whom all blessings flow, then we will know joy. Right now, it is the Lord who builds our faith to that of a strong and a mighty mountain, so that we can be assured that the Lord never hides his face from us, no matter what's happening around us. We can have joy even in the worst of storms. Resurrection is ours, beloved, not death, for the Lord longs to love and to hear our praise and adoration. Our joy intensifies God's joy. Our faith in the face of death itself, which many will not be able to understand, is because we have the joy of the Lord down in our hearts. Not our joy, His joy. His joy given to prove His love toward us even while we were yet sinners. At the darkest moments of the last season, when I felt the farthest away from joy, anything resembling joy, the Lord allowed His joy to bubble up in my heart suddenly. He placed me in a situation that was so unexpected and caused me a whole lot more work than I wanted to give while I was having my pity party. I had to launch a new church. Now, friends, I've never planted a church. That's the farthest thing from my list. When the conference sends those forms out and asks, would you like to be pointed to a cross-cultural? Would you like to do an inner city? Would you like to be a church planter? I say, maybe, sure, oh no. And yet, I was sent to start a new church because I just happened to be in the office that day when this stubborn man from McDuffie County called and said, we're going to be a United Methodist Church and we need you to send us a preacher tomorrow. I said, I'll do my best. At worst, it will be me. It was me. And I began for the next 6 months to preach to this congregation of stubborn people in a home, somebody's living room. Do you know how fun it is to preach in a living room with 30, 50, 80 people and a choir? But we did it. Something changed. When Sally would come and worship with us in this little home church, she would come away saying, your preaching's different. It's like you enjoy it again. And I was smiling every day, and I had a bounce in my step, and I was telling everyone I was meeting in a home church in Thompson, Georgia, and you need to come and see this place. My darkness, my pain, and grief and sorrow all began to melt away because of a group of stubborn people who trusted in God and trusted in me. It got me ready for something more joyful. I knew that at that moment I needed to get out of administration and come back to preaching and to pastor and to lead a people on my own again. And I know, though, there are seasons we're called. God calls us differently all the time, even the call to the ordained. That sometimes somebody's got to lead and somebody's got to do the administration. And I've done my fair share, I told him. And I've seen how the sausage is made. And I will never eat it again. When others would be down and sad because their appointment or their job was being done away with because of economic instability, this fool was joyful. I was going to get to be the pastor of Kingswood United Methodist Church. My joy was seen by many because they couldn't help but see my happy dance. It just took me to turn a little, ever so slightly, to the Lord, and he heard my cry. He wrapped his arms around my heart. He breathed into my spirit, his Holy Spirit, and with that came joy right then. I didn't have to wait till this morning. Right there where I was in Augusta, Georgia, Thompson, Georgia, and over time till I got here this morning. Beloved, with all new beginnings, the Lord will bring hope. The Lord will bring promise, but mostly I believe he intensifies our joy in a new beginning. For new beginnings happen every moment for those who turn to the Lord Jesus Christ and who are in the favor of the Lord. Life, every second of it, is a new beginning and a joyful beginning. Allow me to quote one of my favorite gospel singers, C.C. Winans. And maybe one day I'll sing it for you. I've got joy in the struggle. I've got peace in the storm. I've got strength in the battle. I don't fear anymore. I'm a child of heaven and my hope is secure. I've got joy because I've got Jesus. He gave me beauty for ashes, turned my life around. He broke my chains and now I dance on solid ground. For all he's done to save me, I will raise my voice, for I've got Jesus, so I've got joy. He bore all my burdens, yeah, my debt has been paid. Then he said to my dry bones, rise up out of that grave. He has all my worship and all the honor and praise. I've got joy, because I've got Jesus. I pray, beloved, that you will dig deep, deep down into your soul and into your heart, and join me in allowing joy to come up right now, allowing God to bless you abundantly with his joy. For no matter what your life story, the joy of the Lord is your strength, and he is waiting to give you more and more as you lean and trust into him right now. So you've got Jesus, then you've got joy. We've got joy, Kingswood. Let's live like it as we strive together to be a welcoming community that loves one another. As we serve Jesus Christ together in the journey before us. Thanks be to God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.